What tremendous words they are that we have just sung. Heir to a glorious crown above. Whatever we have or whatever we lack in this world, it doesn't really matter. For the Christian, for the child of God, the best has yet to be. And, you know, perhaps, I don't know about you, but we don't think maybe enough upon these things. The fact that we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to think about the things that God has prepared for us. And what we have in Christ, how rich are the people of God. And we're going on to better things, heirs of a crown above. Perhaps that's maybe one of the reasons why we get down so often under the weather. We should be looking and counting our blessings just to think upon the great things that God has done for us and what we mean to Him. We look within ourselves very often, we see nothing at all, but we're disappointed with ourselves, I'm sure. I know I am anyway, very often. But we need to spend more time looking up and just counting our blessings, the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Very glad to be with you today. I suppose you're thinking to yourselves, don't see very much of that fella here in Bethel, a member here. But we're away, perhaps most Sundays, we're away somewhere preaching. And we're always very glad to come here to Bethel and to share fellowship here with the people. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we turn to the word today. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for these wonderful words that we have sung. The fact that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, we're amazed when we sing such words. We feel ourselves unworthy wretches, sinful, coming so far short, cold at heart at times. But, O God, we bless Thee. We thank Thee for so great salvation. And we do thank Thee, Lord, this day for what we have in Christ. We have life eternal, abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ, heirs to a glorious crown above. God, we bless Thee. Bless Your word to our hearts today, our Heavenly Father. Draw near to us. And we think, Lord, of any in the congregation today who as yet are not saved, Lord, draw near to them in the very seat and save them where they are, because in a moment they may pass from death unto life. We think too, Lord, of the Asher family at this time. Though, Lord, we don't know all the details, but, Lord, we would pray sincerely for that family, and we pray that everything will work out for Thy glory and for Your honor, and that You will help them and bless them at this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn together for a few moments today in this portion of Scripture here in the book of Jeremiah and chapter 3. And the verse that I want to leave with you today is the verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 3 and the verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now Jeremiah the prophet here of course reminds the people of God, that there is a hope which is vain, a hope that is vain. In other words, it is empty. There's nothing in it. There's no substance in it whatever. And what he's really saying to the people of God here is that it will let them down at the end. Their hope that they have. And of course, at this time, they were worshipping a multitude of gods. That's what the verse here means. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. And there were many hills around. And on these hills there were many, many different idols and different gods. And Israel at this time, as we know, had turned away from the Lord. And they were given all their allegiance and all their worship to these false gods. Jeremiah says it's all vain. It is empty. And at the end, They are going to let you down. Now, brethren, is there anything more awful to pin your hopes upon something that at the end is going to fail and let you down? There you are. There's people, an individual. And all their hope and expectation is in something or someone. Just to find that at the very end, it all comes to nothing. It fails them, and it lets them down. That's what the prophet here is saying to Jeremiah. And how good it is, or to the people of God, how good it is to have your faith and your trust alone in Christ for salvation, who can never fail. He reminds them later on here in the chapter, or in this book, in the chapter 6 and in the verse 14. Chapter 6 and in the verse 14, he says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, that is the false prophets, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That was the preaching of these false prophets. Saying to the people, in other words, there's nothing to be disturbed about. You're not going to be taken away into captivity. Things are not as bad as they seem. There's no need for to be alarmed or to be excited. Peace, there's peace everywhere. But the prophet Jeremiah reminded them that it was all in vain. Peace, peace, when there was in actual fact no peace at all. A hope that is empty and a hope that is vain. Now, of course, in this world we may recover from many a disappointment, can't we? We can all look back through life, back through the years. And I'm sure it is true of every Christian, of everyone in the congregation, that there has come our way as many disappointments and setbacks. But praise God, we have recovered from them. But for to put your trust in something or someone for eternity, and then to find at the end that you have been deluded or deceived, how awful that is. How awful. Yes, they were trusting in the multitude of their gods. But Jeremiah says there's no salvation in them. And at the end, you're going to find it all an empty hope and an empty dream. And you will be let down. We know today here in the congregation, we are reminded of it time and time again, of course, that we're all facing eternity. We're all thinking about eternity, and eternity is not very far away from any one of us here in the congregation. And many of our hymns, of course, remind us of that. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast. Our days are passing by so quickly, and eternity is very real. So we want to think today about the kind of salvation that is set before us in the Scriptures. What God has to say about salvation, His salvation, and His mercy. What kind of salvation do we need? What kind of salvation do we need? Well, it's not one that is going to end in disappointment and delusion and just fail us at the very end, because eternity is before us. How are we going to meet God? How are we going to stand before Him, the one who is holy and the one who is just? And of course, we must ever keep in mind as well that there is a heaven to be gained. There's a heaven to be gained. We've sung about it today. We've sung about heaven and glory. But there's also a hell. The Word of God reminds us over and over again that there is a lost eternity. There is a hell. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ, He preached more upon hell than He did upon heaven. In fact, when we look in the New Testament, He preached more than all other preachers upon hell and upon eternity to come. Where will you be in eternity? Is there anything more important? Is there anything more needful than we think about this question? And I trust today in the congregation, here in the meeting, that if as yet you are not saved, if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not converted, that you'll think very carefully about this. Dear soul, there is a hell. There's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There is a place that the Scripture refers to as eternal. Eternal damnation. Is there anything more awful then, more disappointing than to pin your hopes upon something, upon yourself or upon religion or some form or ceremony, just for to find at the end it's all a delusion and there's nothing and it is vain. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and the multitude of mountains. Make sure, dear soul, today as we hear the word, that if you're not saved, that this very day you come to faith in Christ. Your soul is precious. And as I say, eternity is not very far from us. Be ready and be in time. That is surely the message of Scripture. So we're thinking about the salvation then that God has provided over against this vain salvation, this empty delusion. And of course, it is a salvation that is set before us in Scripture. Praise God for that. Thank God for the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need a salvation that is established on the Word of God. A salvation that is established on the Word of the Lord. Not something that is vain. Not something that is going to be a disappointment. A delusion at the end. Just for to come before God and to realize I'm undone. I'm undone for time and for eternity. We want to think about that salvation established on the Word of God. Now I trust we all believe today and we're convinced in our own minds and hearts that this book that we have open before us today, this book, this Word is an actual fact. The Word of the living God. It is God's Word. And every word is true. His Word is true. And the Lord will not deceive us. He has spoken to us in this Word. And everything He has said, right through from Genesis to Revelation, is His own Word. The God-breathed Word. And the Lord will not deceive any man. So we need a salvation that is based upon that which will not change. That which is never going to change. We live in an age and a generation, of course, and I'll mention that in a moment, but what tremendous changes there have been. But here we have the Word of truth, which liveth and abideth forever and ever, and that will never change. Yes, we sing it in the hymn, change and decay, and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Abide with me. Plenty of change. But praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will never change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, brethren, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. So we want a salvation. A salvation that is going to take us to glory, blot out our sins, to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to justify us, give us a perfect standing before a holy God. That's the salvation we need. And that is the salvation spoken of in the Word of God that never changes. Now we're all acquainted, I'm sure, with that great scripture, if we turn our Bibles for a moment, there to Matthew's Gospel, and the chapter 24, and in the verse 35. Matthew 24, and the verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Even our very earth is going to pass away. It's going to be changed. The mountains, the fields, everything else, the heavens are going to be changed. Heaven and earth will pass away. everything that we are used to, that we look upon. What a tremendous change, men and women, is coming to our world when Jesus comes again. But there's one thing is not going to pass away, and that will never change, and that is the word of the Lord. So we want a salvation based upon what God has said. Thus and thus saith the Lord. He's not going to deceive anybody. He's not going to con any individual. He speaks the truth, and here we have it before us. And of course we have that great verse, haven't we? That great passage in 1 Peter, in the chapter 1, in the verses 24 and 5. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. What a statement that is. All flesh, as the grass very shortly, the Lord willing later on, the farmers will go out and they will cut down the grass. All flesh is grass. We're all going to be left low sooner or later. All flesh. And the glory of man is a flower of grass. All the glory of men. And all that they have. And all that they're confiding in. It is all just as the flower of the grass. And everything that a man takes pride in and delights in. Men who have forgotten about God, forgotten about his word and salvation, living just for the pleasures of this time, living for their pomp and everything else, and for their name, and for their reputation. But it's all just like a flower that's going to wither. And then Peter reminds us, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Preached unto you. Praise God, the Lord will never have to revise his word. Never have to change it. We hear of books being revised and changed and added onto and deleted and everything else. But here we have a word that will never change. I suppose most of us here in the congregation, apart from the very young people, haven't we seen great changes in our lifetime? Just. I was just thinking about that, you know, last night as I was looking over this sermon. And I remember at home, down home in the little village, of course, at that time, and maybe it was so here as well, there wasn't a phone box, there wasn't a phone in any house. Not a phone in any house. And the only phone we had was in the post office, in the shop. And then people were very hesitant for to make any phone calls there because they said the woman in the post office, she was always listening into the conversations. But then as time went on, the next thing we had a phone box in the village. And everybody thought that was the greatest invention ever. Go down to the village and make your phone call, and it was wonderful. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? We all have phones and mobile phones and all the rest. When we think of the radios even. I remember as a young lad going to the village with a battery radio for to get it charged. Big old radio, it was the size of a big cardboard box. And we had to go and get the whole thing, the wet batteries charged. And then, of course, all the technology came in. The transport as well. You know, I think there was only maybe a handful of cars around the place. Most of them were all looked the same. They're all Morris Minors around the countryside at that time. Now, just in our own lifetime, think about it. The past 40, 50 years. When we think of the tremendous changes that have come about. We would have never thought we'd have come so far with technology and everything else. But men and women, there's one thing that hasn't changed. The heart of man is ever the same. That is, it's corrupt. It is sinful. It is vile. And Romans 3, that passage that we all know, I'm sure, off by heart. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that seeks after him. We are all gone out of the way. We are all as an unclean thing.
And in the midst of ever an ever-changing world, men and women, there's one thing that never changes. And that is the word that we have opened before us today. It is the word of the living God. And what do I need? I need a salvation that is based upon that word. Isaiah reminds us, he says, the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Shall stand forever. And God tells us in his word, in this precious word, he has set out a salvation before us. And that salvation he has vested in one person, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only in him. And it is by faith alone in Christ that a man or a woman or a young person is saved. I need a salvation based on the unchanging word of God that won't fail me at the end, that will not let me down, not disappoint. And I can say today on the authority of the Holy Scriptures that the person, the individual who comes to Christ, casting their all upon him, trusting him alone for salvation, praise God, will not be disappointed. Because the Lord is not a disappointment. And his word will not disappoint. Maybe you've heard the story about the visitor who went to the blacksmith's shop. He went to visit the forge. Man was shoeing horses. And he noticed over in the corner of this blacksmith's shop, he noticed there were a whole heap of discarded hammers. And he looked at them in the corner, was wondering what was being going on here. And he said to the blacksmith, he said, I suppose, he says, you have worn out many anvils. When he looked at the broken hammers, the blacksmith said, no, he says. He says, I've worn out many hammers, but he says, I have only one anvil. Only one anvil. Men and women, listen. There are many enemies to the word of God. There is much opposition to it. But like that anvil, it has broken and will break many a hammer that is brought against it in opposition. Yes, the word of the Lord shall stand forever. But then, I need a salvation that can erase my sins, deal with my sins. Is there somebody in the congregation here today, and you're under conviction of sin, and you're troubled about your sins, about your past, even about your present? And there's conviction, and you're uneasy. Well, praise God for that. Thank God for a conviction of sin. We don't see very much of it. But where there's a conviction of sin, where there's trouble, we can be sure that it is as a result of the work of the Spirit of God. And thank God today there is a salvation set before us in the word of the Lord. It's not a salvation that is going to let you down, empty, to disappoint. But praise God, it is a salvation that will take care of your sins and deal with your sin. Sin is the deadly enemy, isn't it? What does sin do? It brings trouble. It brings sorrow. It is the enemy of happiness. That's what sin is. Why is there so much unhappiness and so much trouble in the lives of individuals and in homes and right throughout the country? There's only one answer. It is because of sin. Sin is the enemy. Sin is the enemy. But praise God, when there's forgiveness of sins, and when a man knows, a woman knows, young person knows that their sins are forgiven, it brings peace. It will bring peace to the soul. Hell, as I mentioned a moment ago, sin will bring the soul to a lost eternity. but forgiveness of sins and salvation. Praise God, will bring that soul to heaven. Now, the Bible is full of beautiful passages describing what the Lord Jesus Christ can do with our sins. And they're repeated over and over again, and they come with great assurance. We have, for example, there that great psalm, the Psalm 103 and in the verse 12. Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's what God can do. As far as the east is from the west. Now, there may be a lot of scientific scholars here in the meeting today. I don't know. I'm no scientist, but they have told me, I've heard it, that you can't measure the east from the west. It can't be measured. You can measure the North Pole to the South Pole, but not the east from the west. It's impossible. And so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. No trace of them. Can't be measured. The distance is so great. And that's what God can do. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ can do and is able to do when he forgives sins. We read, don't we, in Isaiah chapter, in the chapter 38 and in the verse 7, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Isn't that wonderful? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's the mercy of God. That's the forgiveness of the Lord. And that's what God can do for you today in the meeting. That's what he's willing to do. Here's the salvation, the mercy, the forgiveness, based upon the word of God. Based upon the word of God. That unchanging word. And of course, we have that great word in Micah, in the chapter 7 and in the verse 19. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. All their sins into the depths of the sea. That's mercy. That's one of the lovely, beautiful pictures that is given to us of what God can do. What he can do for the sinner, the vilest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. You know, I'm sure we're all acquainted with the fact that there are depths in the ocean that not even the greatest submarine can go down. They can only go so far. No matter how up to date it might be, no matter how modern, all the technology, they can only go so far because of the pressure. And here we speak about the depths to which no man can go. The very depths where no man has been, he'll cast them into the depths of the sea. And praise God, they'll never be washed up on the shore again. Never be washed up upon the shore again. You know, even the people of God will say, oh, we forgive, but we'll not forget. We'll not forget. People can be like that, but not so with the Lord. Not so with God. I need a salvation that can erase all my sins. Brethren, it is set before us. Dear soul, it is set before us here in the word of God. Jeremiah says here to the people, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. And it is vain to look anywhere else. It is vain to look to any man. It is vain to look even to religion. It is vain to put your trust in a denomination. All is vain and all is empty. No, it is in the Lord. It is in the Lord. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Then I want a salvation as well, praise God, that will take me to heaven. Take me to heaven. As I said a moment ago, we're on the verge of eternity. We can measure time here. We're all the time measuring time. Every time we look at the clock, weeks and months and years. But I want us to remember this today. Nobody can measure eternity. Think about it carefully. No man can measure eternity. There's no point in talking about millenniums or anything else. It all fades into insignificance And as I said, the thing that is to most concern us above everything else, if your sins are not forgiven and you're not saved, where am I going to be in eternity, for all eternity? All eternity. That's how vital, how important this salvation is. I need a salvation, praise God, based upon the Word of God, and a salvation that will take me to heaven. And God's salvation escorts the believer, takes him to heaven. It's like when you go into a hotel or into some place for a meal and you're escorted from the door to the seat. And here we have a salvation. Praise God, the Lord takes his people, every child of God. The Spirit escorts us all the way to glory and to heaven. You remember the words of David. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You remember the words of Stephen as they stoned him, when he cried out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ has paid it all. And every believer can say today, truly, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Praise God, he washed me white as snow. And the Apostle Paul was looking forward to heaven. He was ready to go at any time, for he said, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord. And then our time is just gone. I'll just mention this in closing. We want a salvation that we can enjoy. A salvation we can enjoy. You remember the words of Peter when he spoke about joy unspeakable and full of glory? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How many people think today that if I were to be saved, converted, if I were to hand my life and my heart over to the Savior, how miserable life would be? But that's the lie of the devil, isn't it? That's the lie of the enemy. Like the man who was asked, he said, after he had been saved and converted, his friend said to him, he said, I believe you've given up all your pleasures. No, he says, I haven't given up anything at all. He says, I've just received a whole lot of pleasures. I've just received a whole lot of pleasures. So-called pleasures of the world. And the Scripture reminds us, of course, that they are but for a season. Pleasures of sin are for a season. They're short. It literally means a short season. A short season. In vain, Jeremiah said to the people, you look to the hills for salvation. Instead of looking and putting their trust in the Lord. Was Jeremiah right? Of course he was right. Because the time came and the people were taken away into captivity. They were disappointed. Imagine the upheaval. Imagine the consequences. The upheaval from their homes and from their land to be taken away to a foreign land. And as the psalmist reminds us there, they wept when we remembered Zion. They asked them in the foreign land to sing them a song. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? They were disappointed. I can say today on the authority of the word, dear soul, whoever you are today, if you're yet not saved, you'll not be disappointed if you come to Christ and trust him with all your heart for time and for eternity. You will be escorted to heaven when your time comes. Now let us sing in closing today.